You guys, I am trying out a new podcast style that is all about you, the heartbeat of this show. I am Aileek, and this is my first stab at my fan series. Think fan of a fan, mutual admiration. I want to take the time to spotlight some of the incredible people who have been tuning in to this podcast for years. Some of you have been tweeting me for years, tagging me on Instagram. We have laughed together. Some of us have argued together. Think of it as a little celebration of our shared journey. I want to dive deep into the minds of the real stars, you, this podcast community. Let's reminisce about some of your favorite episodes. Take a trip with me down memory lane, but this is a trip with a twist because it is your memories we're going to unpack. Let's unravel what has stood the test of time. What episodes are still resonating with you? Let's celebrate the community we've built together. Our first guest for this series is Michelle Marby Davies. She is the visionary behind Marby's Kitchen. I know Michelle because she has tagged me in some beautiful images whenever she's listening to the podcast. I love what she pulls out. I even met her at the live podcast. I believe she flew in from Thailand and she lives in the UK. And so I was just blown away when I met her. She is stunning. I love her content. She is a multifaceted woman in business and media. She has 10 years of event management and luxury spirit experiences under her belt. She has mastered the art of hosting with intentionality, and the core of everything she does has an attention to detail. I really do hope you enjoy this conversation and this series.
So, another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Before we get into the things, your brand, it's Marby's Kitchen. Can you tell me what this is? Because everything you do is just so beautiful.
Thank you so much. Marby's Kitchen started out, honestly, as a way to honor my mom's memory. She passed away about 10 years ago, and we just had a love of hosting, using food as a love language. And I just wanted to create a space online where it could be an extension of that and kind of what it feels like when you are in a kitchen where you get to laugh. I've cried in my kitchen with people, made amazing meals, and I wanted an online space that was a reflection of that. So I create content around recipes, hosting, but also just conversations that help us see that we're more alike than we are different. Because I feel like sometimes when you go through your experiences, it can feel like, oh, it's just me that's, you know, going through loneliness or grief or wondering what to do with my life. And that can be really isolating. And I feel like the more conversations you have with people from an open and vulnerable space, the more you see that, oh, it's not just me. Like, there's so many of us that have a similar experience in different ways.
For sure. Okay. Yeah. So the way that I found you, I think, is just by you sharing the podcast. And then I never have forgotten your entry for the retreat, which it is still, I feel like anytime I do a retreat again, you are up there, because I feel like yours was definitely in the top few. So
tell me
about, yeah. So this series that I'm doing, I am really wanting to take some time and talk to some people that have been fans of my podcast for a long time and who have sort of introduced me to my work in a different way. So it's like, you know, I put these things out and then I don't see them again. And then somebody will tag me, or I think the way you post things is just so pretty.
Thank you.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I said that. So we have, you created this deck that I plan on sharing because I think people should see this as we do this podcast. But you sent this over and it says, a few things Mai taught me. So I want to talk with you about some things that I have taught you and that I may need to reteach myself in this season of life.
No, I love that. And I love that you get to experience your work again in a fresh way through other people kind of sharing that with you.
Yes, for sure. So where do we want to start? I have the deck up, but where do you want to start here?
Oh, I will let you take the lead because there's so many, even from the one-liners, like I had to include some of those at the end because okay. I think there's just certain things that you say. I don't know if they feel like one-liners to you, but certain things that you say that I'm like, at any given moment, I'm quoting. It's like my little Malik Bible. I'm like, hey guys, Malik said this.
Okay, so the first line that you have is play the heck out of the cards you've been dealt.
Yeah.
How has that sort of like, what does that mean to you and how's that shown up in your life?
For me, I think personally, especially when it comes to my life experiences, mainly with losing my mom, I think the thought process that I had around that, I just turned 21 when she passed away and she was ill for about 2 years and caring for someone kind of with a terminal illness, that's a whole different story in and of itself, right?
And for sure.
I remember one of the prayers that I was praying at the time was like, God, please don't let this be my story. Like, don't let me be the person, like, because there's a part of you sometimes that like, that's like, oh, that's something that happens to them over there, but not me. Or I just don't want to experience that. Like, this wasn't in my ideal plan or vision for my life. And I think I got into a space, you know, they talk about the stages of grief. And I think I was in anger for a really long time and denial for a while. And there's so much, even in becoming literate around grief or confident around grief, that I had to learn. But one of the things that I felt like was a stumbling block for me was just acceptance, like accepting that, okay, this has happened. And how do I, one, find meaning from the situation, but also two, not let it be something that holds me back. And not from a space of making that trauma or that experience my identity, but just knowing that, okay, things have happened that are outside of my control. How do I take some control back? Because I think with grief, and someone being taken away from you in a timeline where you feel it's too soon, it can feel like you've lost control. And you can go two ways where it's like, on one hand, you can try to be obsessive about controlling certain little details. And on the other hand, it can just feel like you're spiraling where it's like, well, how do I take ownership of this life that's now looking very different than what I planned? So for me, when it comes to you often saying, play the heck out of the cards that you've been dealt, it's like, would I have asked for this to happen to me? No. If I could change things, if I could go back and change things, would I?
Right.
Probably yes. Like, I'm not one of those people that's like, you know, like when it comes to this situation, like, you know, if it could happen over again, I would let it happen. No. Like, I want my mom back. Like, but how can I play the heck out of the cards I've been dealt? Yeah. How can I just choose to make the most every single day out of the situation without letting what has happened to me become a hindrance in terms of the kind of life that I want to live? And whether it's like big tragic moments or even something small on a day-to-day basis, like, okay, the day hasn't started the ideal way I wanted, or I didn't get the opportunity I was looking for, how do I maximize the situation? Like, how do I play the heck out of those cards without looking at someone else's deck? What have they got? What am I envious of that it's like, oh, I wish I had that? No. What can I do with what's in my hands?
Yeah. Listen, you were 21 years old when this happened.
Yeah.
And I cannot imagine. I mean, my mom died 6 months ago and I am in my 40s. And I think about people who have had this experience and I'm just like, oh my gosh, how are people, you know, I just think of all the ways that I was trained or told or sort of had when someone passed away, how we just kind of like push people through it. And like, they seemed like they were doing better the less sad they were, or, you know, people feel uncomfortable saying they're sad. And I don't know, like, I feel as I was going through this experience with my mom dying, I felt terrible for the things I didn't know. I didn't know how to show up for friends. And this is also with motherhood. Like, I didn't know how to support people who were having children or people who were like losing their moms.
Yeah.
And something that I've been like in this space of my life is like within a 5-year period, I became a mom and lost my mom. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, virtual hug.
Thank you.
And I mean, you're 10 years, you know, 10 years into this experience and grief ain't no punk. You know, it's like, yeah, it is not. I was on the phone with the, with someone yesterday and I was saying to them that I apologize for flakiness. It's like, you know, the way grief is showing up for me is that I find myself just flaky. Like I commit to things, but then I forget. It's not even that I'm trying. Yeah. And she was like, please don't call yourself flaky. She says like, your executive functioning is compromised.
Wow.
You know, you used to be able to do things on a level 10 and now 8 of those are like grieving and it's like you've got 2 and one of them is like reminding you to eat and like the other one's like helping you take care of the kids. And so it's like, do not feel bad if you're not able to keep up with some of these things. And
I love that she gave you a way to kind of reframe that and permission.
Yes.
To feel what you need to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you have some of your favorite podcast episodes and I went back and I just like numbered and rechanged all the names. And so I know you probably were like, where the heck did she put all of these? And so that was the Play the Heck Out of the Cards You've Been Dealt was episode 132.
Yes.
And that was the one about comparison networking and the young woman that had like failed the bar.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you about another quote that you have. And this is one where I'm like, I don't remember saying this, but like, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Happiness is a choice, not a right or a privilege. Did I say that?
You did. You really did. Yeah. And that's been in my notes for a long time.
I may have an update. Okay. Okay. I may have an update. But,
okay.
You know, you were saying in your notes, you said the takeaway from this episode for you was that sometimes it's less about the ending and more about the fear of starting over. You want to tell me about that?
Yes, I think, and it's really interesting, even when I was looking over my notes about this point, because I would probably interchange between like the word happiness and joy, like choosing joy, because I experienced that a lot. Not only when it comes to endings around, you know, like breakups or friendships, but even life, like when it comes to pivoting. For a couple of years, I made wedding cakes and it got to a point where I was like, I do not want to do this anymore. But I think I was waiting for someone to give me permission to pivot and permission to make the change, because my thought was, especially when it comes to this era of everything you do being publicly branded, it's like, especially if you're the face of the brand, like, oh, like Marby Davies at the time, like making cakes. And I was like, what will people think? Like, you've invested so much in the brand. Right. How can you change? How dare you change your mind? But I think what I loved about that episode was understanding that, like, yes, I may not know exactly what the next step is, because then I didn't know exactly what Marby's Kitchen would look like and all the beautiful things that would come from it. But it was almost like I didn't even give myself permission to see those possibilities because I was so nervous about this ending, because the ending is, or the thing that I'm in now is what was familiar to me at the time. So I love that episode because it's like a reminder of, the ending might feel scary because it's letting go of the thing you currently know, but there is so much beauty on the other side of that risk or of that pivot. And yes, that fear comes from not knowing what's on the other side, but it's like you can use that same energy and brain power to imagine the wonderful things that could come instead of imagining like, what will people think of me if I stop? Or, you know, how dare I? How can I pivot? And I don't know, it was just reframing my outlook on it. Like, I can actually allow myself to get excited about what's on the other side. But I would love to know, because I know you said you might have an update. I would love to know, in terms of your thoughts about happiness now, what would you say the update is on that at the moment?
You know, I find myself not wanting to use the word happiness as much anymore. I think that was the only sort of like you said, it's now interchangeable with like joy.
Yeah.
I think there was this obsession with happiness, maybe a decade ago, probably during the time, let's just say 5 to 7 years ago when I did this. Mm. And I think I'm like, there's more to life than just happiness. And happiness doesn't have to be the default place that I'm always trying to get to, yes. right? I can't, you know, everything isn't about being happy. But I think that's the reason why I was like, happiness is a choice. Mm. And I think I would probably say today that happiness is a feeling. Mm. And it comes and goes. And I don't know if it's a choice anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I think that we can... I think we can be intentional about creating more opportunities for joy and happiness in our lives. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think what I would probably say differently is like, you know, people like happiness is a choice. It's like, calm down. Maybe it might be like, happy, you know, you don't have to be happy right now.
Right.
You don't have to even choose happiness.
Yeah.
I think that you can create more experience. You can create more opportunities for it in your life. And that would probably be what I would say. But I think in this particular podcast where I was like, how I learned to accept my happiness and appreciate my joy, I don't think I was even making space. Mm-hmm. To feel okay with these positive feelings. You know, I think it was like always having to feel like I needed to be working towards something or people needing to see that I had like, you know, I'm always proving myself. And so it's like, you know what? You get to be happy. You get to laugh. Mm-hmm. You get to slow down. You get to stop. You just stop. And you get to be like, wow, this is a lot of fun.
100%. I completely agree with kind of your update on that. I think if I step back and think, even with that phrase in the context of other things you've said on the podcast, or even just my outlook now, I'm in my early 30s, I think I would split it into two categories. So 50%, it's like taking ownership for your role in bringing the happiness you want and inviting the joy you want. I think it's like you can't, you know that you can't control all the situations, but I know, like, for me, sometimes it would be waiting. Like, even I know certain episodes where people have written in about birthdays and there's been Q&As and you're like, what would make you happy? Like, take ownership of that. Something as simple as that. Just knowing you have the agency to bring about the happiness and the joy that you want in your life, even when it comes to decorating your space. Like, whatever it is, I think that's the outlook that I have when it comes to this statement. It's like, it's not in someone else's hands. What they bring is a bonus, but I have the agency to invite more of that into my life through the choices that I make intentionally, and even the requests that I might make of other people, as opposed to kind of just hoping that, like, it just comes by chance.
Yes. The birthdays.
Yeah.
Y'all wear me down with these birthdays. I get so many emails. It is the question. My friends did not celebrate my birthday.
Yeah.
You want a surprise party? I'm like, throw your own surprise party.
Right.
I would even have some fun with it and be like, I am throwing myself a surprise party and you are all going to surprise me. I'm going to walk in and everyone's going to say surprise and we're just going to have fun. And I think so often we just hand our birthdays over to people.
Yeah.
And then when they don't turn out, you know, if the birthday doesn't look like what we wanted it to look like, then now we are on Instagram writing these cryptic posts.
Right.
cutting people off and all this and that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think my hope is that, and then I think there's another part of it with the birthdays and this, just some of the stuff that I see on social is almost this like, girlfriend's performance or like performing friendship in groups where some people legitimately are this way where they are going to do the balloons. They're going to do all these different things for their friends. And I think sometimes we will have these expectations. We have never even told people our birthdays, you know, it's so crazy.
Yes.
Some people will be upset and it's like, you haven't even told your friends your birthday. Well, they should have asked me, well, maybe their birthday is not that big of a deal to them.
Exactly.
And so I'm just like, if you want to have a happy birthday, go ahead and plan your happy birthday and let it be all the things that you want. And you can tell people what you want them to do, how you want them to arrive, what, you know, what might matter to you.
Yeah.
And I just think we could just save ourselves, you know, for sure. When you said agency, it's just like, how, like, what would our lives be like if we stopped waiting for people to do things, you know, for us or in the way that we like? What if we just took over our birthdays? What if
yes.
we just took over our holidays? If, you know, you want to do matching jammies, like, do matching jammies.
Yes.
Like, have you and your homegirl send the links when, you know, Old Navy puts them on sale for $3-4.
100%.
Go ahead and do that. Do your photo shoot. Do it the year before.
Literally, like
thing. Like, you get you get to do that, which takes me to this next slide where you said, you know, something that you feel you have learned from me is design your life. No one is coming to rescue you. And you have, you know, I think one of the most popular episodes I've ever done is probably how to edit your life, because I'm also, you know, always about streamlining your journey. So you have streamlining your journey, how to edit your life. You have situationships, friendships, work, asking for more and more.
Yeah.
Letting go, things that I left behind in 2017, and just design your life. And so tell me, because you have some really wonderful notes. So do you want me to read these for you, or do you want to just tell me? Want to go through it?
I'm happy to kind of work an overview of the notes, because I think it ties in really beautifully to what you mentioned before. But the key thing for me, I think, overall with these episodes, and one particular Instagram live you did that I think just snatched like my edges, my wigs, like all of the things, was just was just around designing your life with the outlook that nobody is coming to rescue you. And I'm going to tap back into, because I think for different people, the habit of kind of waiting for the fairy tale and the fantasy, that comes from different places. But I know for me, I think, and I can't remember who's spoken about this, if it was Nedra or someone else, where they speak about learned helplessness. I think for me, some of that came through grief and loss happening to me. So there's a part of my mind that says, okay, well, the rest of life is supposed to then happen to me. Like someone else, it was almost like, okay, I didn't have a say in that happening. So perhaps like the rest of the things I want, I don't necessarily need to have a say in it happening. I can just sit, cross my legs. And even when it comes to romance, like watching rom-coms and being obsessed with, you know, things just happening out of the blue. But on that Instagram live, I think you were just like, no, like you have the agency to design your life the way you want, and the power to then go out and do the extraordinary work that's required to make that happen. It's like, Part of it for me, how I see it in two phases, is one, not living on autopilot and not just having these decisions that you live out daily that are based on other people's desires for your life. It's like sitting down to do the work of deciding, what do I want? What do I want for my life? The dreams that I'm in pursuit of, is it that I actually want them, or I've seen them so many times on the gram that it's become appealing? Or even in terms of things that maybe your community has given to you, parents, like you're in pursuit of other people's dreams. And I had to sit down and just be like, no, I have to decide what I want my life to look like. And it's really unsexy work. Like, that's what I call it. It's not, it doesn't look
sexy. Yeah. It's not the cute vision board party with the champagne. I mean, it's really one of those things, like you said, of like, I think nobody teaches us this, and that says, like, you know, at some point you are going to have to really decide who you are.
Yep.
Who you want to be, what you genuinely want for your life, and then how you're going to go get it, you know, because a lot of times some people, and I know this to be true, it's like you are, I'm going to pivot for one quick second, because a story is coming to me. I was on the phone with my dad this week, and he asked me, my dad has become very fascinated with my parenting.
Aww.
And he asked me, you know, how am I raising my older child? Because the young one, she's not there yet, but like, how are you raising him? How does he know to like please you? Meaning like, how does he know not to like do things to disappoint you or to like make you look good? And I was like, well, the way that I'm hoping to raise him is for him to do those things for himself.
Wow.
I am trying to raise him that, like, it is not about what I like or how I clap for him or him having to delight me or look to me to see if my eyes are going to light up by his actions. How does that feel to you?
Yes.
What do you want for your life? Just because you do a cartwheel, I'm not going to call you a gymnast. Just because you like this today, I'm not going to start trying to speak things over careers over your life. And so I said, you know, Dad, the big thing that I'm trying to do is teach him to do things for himself and to satisfy himself. And he doesn't have to live a life for me. And so, but so many of us were raised that way. And my dad was genuinely curious. Like, how does he know to please you? He doesn't have to. And he does well. He is self-motivated because he wants that for himself.
Yeah. That's so good. And so,
I think so many of us were like, and I was this way. I wanted to be able to say things over Christmas dinner that had people's eyes sparkle when I said it, you know?
Yes.
And even sometimes today, I mean, at my age, when people will ask what I do, now that I'm on the side of rebelliousness, it's just like, I don't have to, like, you are looking for me to tell you something to make you feel good about me.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that if you spend some time, you know, you spend some time with me and get to know me, you might like me, you might not.
And that's okay.
And that has been, and that's that, like, where I'm at, my therapist is like, your 40s will do that to you. I am giving people permission to experience me however they experience me and not trying to control control what they think based on what I say. And so,
because half the time it's not really about you, it's the lens. Yes,
it's not, it's not. And so I would say to people, like, if you really want to make children's puzzles, do that. If you really want to create a slime museum, do that. Because you might say it today and it may not make sense today, but, like, if I had tried to tell my parents what I wanted to do with my life 20 years ago, it wouldn't have made sense.
Yep.
And so it is okay for you to be, to have confidence in your dreams, even if nobody gets it.
Yes.
But you have to have some real guts to say, like, I want to make slime all day.
100%. 100%. And know that you're living life not for or on behalf of anyone else. And I think for me, the biggest change came in just allowing myself to be deeply curious. Like, even when it comes to learning about myself, what do I like? I remember a talk from Gabrielle Union, like, a couple of years ago, an awards show that just changed my mind completely, where she was talking about being asked what 10 things make her happy, and she couldn't list them for her coach. And I tried to outside of, like, work, and I just genuinely couldn't. Like, it was just, okay, Michelle, how can you get deeply curious about yourself? Why are you in pursuit of the goals you're in pursuit of? Why do you want your life to look the way you want it to look or feel? What are the things that are important to you? And it's just asking those questions. Yeah. And even when I do share my dreams with other people, coming to a place where I'm no longer looking for permission, or I'm not sharing it at a stage where I'm waiting for a nod of approval, like, oh, this might work or it won't work. It's like, no, even if I'm changing my mind about the direction I'm going in, I'm okay with it. I've made peace with it. And I'm confident that this is based on the design for my life that I want and I'm interested in. So I love that you shared that approach. And even especially when it came to dating, like, not waiting for just this fantasy or happenstance or things just to happen, because we give so much power to, I don't know if it's serendipity or what, but it's like, you can make room for that. Yeah. Like, you can make room for those things to happen. But I think there is action that needs to come from understanding that you are responsible for your life, and it's not anyone else. It's not luck. It's not magic. Like, those things can happen, but it's like every day,
right?
Are you designing the life you want? Are you revisiting every couple of months to say, like, you know, are we still on track? What direction are we heading in? Is this the direction that I want?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the one, you know, the dating one, which I know is a tricky one. And I can't remember who I was talking to. They were like, oh, you don't know what the dating situation is right now, because if you knew the dating situation, And I just, this is my thing is that if you look at your life, like you would look at the status of the job market, or if you were going to be, you know, you would compare you, there's an effort that we put into where we live, our apartment, yep. how we're going to buy homes. We keep up with the news and the times. And if we need to get this app for, you know, Zillow or whatever the heck, we are willing to do all these things. Yeah. But yet when it comes to our love life, it is something that we still feel is something that should just happen. And yeah. I love what you said of like, I am going to make room for serendipity and for luck and for, and bumping into someone and oh my God. But if a love life or a relationship is something that I really want, I think the number one thing that I have learned over the years is that you need to learn how to have one because a lot of us didn't really even learn how to be in relationship. We yeah. learned how to do the things that we see, you know, the early performance
yeah.
in relationships, the like, let me look good, smell good, say the right thing, cook the right thing, pick the right places, and then, you know, there's so much more to that, you know. And then I think just, if we are going to look at this, like we look at other things, it's like, all right, what are the statistics? Where do I need to be looking? Do I need to open up my age? Do I need to open up my age range? Yep. Do I need to go wider than 5 miles? Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to go 50. Like, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I just think that we have to be, we have to take it serious. And even when I was like in the dating game and I decided that I was going to take it serious, I did like a maybe year, 2 years with a therapist of just like, whoa, realizing, you know, I realized that the way that I was choosing was based on my history and my trauma. And so I was able to come into the dating game with the knowledge of my history, not necessarily, you know, it's like, okay, I know how I typically choose. So if these kinds of things come up, that is my flag to exit left. But until that comes up, I'm just going to keep seeing where this goes.
Yes.
But I used to have like my dating ritual. Like every time I would get home from, it was that bridge after my shower, before I went to bed, I would just like, 10 to 15 minutes a night,
yeah.
That's the only time I would spend because I had kind of said to myself, I'm not going to be talking to somebody all day long. I'm not talking yep. to all these strangers all day long. You cannot talk to me all day long. You can talk to me for the 10 or 15 minutes. And then if it got off that and we got out to a date, then fine. But yeah. like, I just take it serious. I don't know.
But
everybody's like, oh, the date.
I love that you shared that with us. I can't remember which episode specifically, but just having that approach of I'm going to make time for something that's important to me. And I know over several episodes you've said, you know, make the time for building the type of personal life that you want, because there is so much emphasis often on, you know, the career goals, the wins, you know,
yes.
whatever it is. And it's almost like you kind of have to put the things that you want, whether it's from a romantic perspective or even friendships, on the back burner. And I love that, just that practical tip of no, spend like 10 to 15 minutes a day just talking to people, get out there. Like that for so many women, I know that's made such a huge difference because it's almost permission to actually put in the work for the things that you want.
Yeah. I used to think that my dating and love life would always be at the mercy of someone else. Like if I didn't, you know, I didn't feel like I had much say, you know, it's like, well, the person has to like you back and all
yeah.
this. And I'll never forget that. Like my therapist was like, these are your choices.
You're choosing
this. Cause I used to be like, oh, only this type of person is attracted to me and this, that, and the other. And once I felt like I was genuinely sitting in the driver's seat of my dating life, I did make this list, and I don't even know if I've ever shared this in a podcast, but I feel like I did. But I made a list of like the kind of things that would be important to me in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the top things on my list was I wanted to be with somebody who our relationship wouldn't be the thing that the highest point
Oh, lives, yeah. I remember you said that. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Or some people are like, I want, you know, if it ain't, you know, the internet is like, if it ain't that, I don't want it. And for me, as for myself, I don't want that much attention. I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be partnered and I want to be in a healthy relationship, but I don't want somebody who is looking to me as the sole source of their, yes, their joy and happiness. I want to be maybe the icing, maybe the cherry on the cake that you've got going on, and you icing your own cake, and I just get to come and be like, ding, you, yeah, know, because I don't want that for myself.
But you either. Know, it's a habit that I think we often, because it reminds me of another, one of the other slides that I, the notes, mm-hmm, that I sent over to you, where you spoke about what you know about, mm-hmm, Love Today, draft 36.
Oh, okay.
And one of the questions, okay, that you asked on that episode was, do you love your life as it is, with or without somebody? And for me, that hit me like a ton of bricks, because I think it's easy to get into the space where that thing over there is what you're looking forward to make yourself feel good, especially when it comes to, yeah, relationships. So it's like, once I have this person or this thing, whatever it is, usually a person, mm-hmm, when it comes to love and, yeah, romance, it's like, then I will be content and then I will be happy. And it's almost like you kind of live life, what I have in the past, like on pause, kind of waiting that, yeah, like, oh, when this person comes, then I will start to do the things I really love, or, you know, seek adventure, or whatever it is. And it's like, no, do you love your life as it is without somebody else? And that's something that's really important to me. And I hope it would be for other people as well, because it's like, your life is worth living and enjoying with or without, yes, someone else.
Yes. With or without someone in it. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it took me a minute to get there myself. You know, I can't remember around what age that I kind of had made it. It's so funny, because at the time that I met my partner, I had decided that I was going to be single forever. Mm. And so I had decided, you know what, I'm going to just keep doing my thing, living my life, making my schedule, doing all these things. And if I meet somebody, great. But if I don't meet somebody, I'm just not, I just, it's like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, when I kind of fell into that surrender is when I think I met someone. But something that I have found to be so fascinating about now being in a partnership is that when you really are living your life to the fullest, it just, you bring so much color, yes, and so many layers to a relationship, because you're like, oh, I went there. Oh, who'd you go with? Oh, I went by myself. Like,
yes,
there was a, you know, I had gone to, Savannah, Georgia is not far from us. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, let's go to Savannah. I was like, oh yeah, I came to Savannah 2-3 years ago for a cooking class. I just wanted to start the year and I did this and I went there. I was like, who'd you go with? Like, I went by myself. Because I am determined to always just live and enjoy my life. And so if I'm looking in the paper, I'm finding the sexy restaurant, I'm getting dressed up, I'm going by myself. And even the types of people that I have met that I like continue to be friends with over those years, I think, because I think even if you do get in a relationship, there is still a part of you that has to enjoy your solo life, even if there's somebody that is doing things with you. So I'm taking, yes, I'm still doing my solo trips, you know,
which I love,
doing these things, because, yeah, like sometimes I'll talk to my therapist. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going here. She'll be like, are you going by yourself? I'm like, you know, sometimes nobody, I don't want nobody on this trip. My kids, I don't want nobody, but,
no,
yeah,
seeing
I always
you,
want so- to have this like healthy relationship and romance with myself too.
Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. It's like giving yourself permission to enjoy the best with or without someone else. Because seeing you solo travel, I think that definitely added to my desire to want to explore the world for myself. It was almost like for several years I was waiting, like, okay, I'll start to travel once I'm with someone. And I remember experiencing heartbreak that was just like, that was a life-changing heartbreak for me. And I was like, no, I'm going to travel. I said, I am going to travel. Yeah. Like 1 year, and ever since then, I have enjoyed just exploring the world by myself. And sometimes people will be like, well, why would you go all that way? The last trip I did solo, like an actual vacation, was to Thailand. And people were looking at me like, why would you travel all that way by yourself? And I was like, why not? I've wanted to go for the longest. I didn't have anyone to go with at the time. And I know I've come to feel at home with myself. So I'm going to enjoy myself by myself, wherever I am, and give myself the very best. And I think seeing that example from yourself and other amazing women, I think just gave a level of permission to just say, that's okay with or without anyone else. And it's even a cherry on top then when you go with someone else.
Yeah. And so I have here, because we were talking about the episode about What I Know About Love Today, when I was 36, you said a quote that you love was, sometimes even when you end things on your terms, you'll still need to grieve.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the truth, because I think breakups are hard even when you're the person that's breaking it off.
100%.
You know, because maybe you know it's not a good fit for you or whatever. So I used to like feel like I couldn't dump people. Like, oh my God, I can't end this. And I know that if it was 36, I know exactly who I ended it with. I know exactly who I ended it with. It's tough, but it just was like, you know, having to just be really honest with myself of like, I enjoy this person's company. I do have a person that I can have dinner with or whatever. Mm. But long term, this just isn't going to work long term, not for what I'm looking for in my life. And so, okay, I don't want to hold you forever, but let's go through some of the, you have these game changing one liners. And maybe we can hash some of these out, but you have either I win or I learn, I don't lose.
Yeah. I love that one because it's like no experience is wasted. And I think it's important throughout life to have that outlook, because you can stay in situations that you don't need to be in, whether it comes to relationships, whether it comes to what you're doing for work, personal projects, whatever it is, you can stay there longer than you need to because of this feeling of, you know, if I walk away, it's kind of a wasted experience or wasted effort. And it's like, no experience is wasted unless you allow it to be. There's always something that you can take away from that. Even if you didn't come first, you weren't the fastest in the room.
Right.
You have something to learn from it if you allow yourself to. So I love that one-liner as well.
Yeah. Even those bad ones, like even if you get fired, I still don't think it's lost, because there is something that you could have learned there.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one you have is, confidence will come from knowing your stuff. That one, so many times people ask me, you know, how are you so confident? I'm just like, know something.
Yeah.
One thing really well.
Because I think sometimes.
You know one thing.
No, sorry,
no,
go one ahead.
Thing you know better than anyone else. Yeah, no, you go.
No, because I think several times you've mentioned this, like across the board, but I think the way it's reframed my mind at the moment is, not having this outlook of confidence being a feeling. Like sometimes we think you have to feel confident, or you look at people and you're like, oh, they're just innately confident. They were just born that way. And it's like, no, if you have done something in and out for 6 months straight, probably by the seventh month, you can do it with your eyes closed. It's like that confidence comes from knowing that I have shot the ball in the hoop so many times that I know what I'm doing when it comes time to actually do it. It's not that I woke up this morning feeling extra confident. It's from putting in the work, not looking for the shortcuts, especially in a time where everybody's trying to offer you like 7 quick ways to a million, or like, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, no, you actually, that confidence that you're looking for will come from doing the actual work, learning the thing, like putting in the 10,000 hours.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Third one. Take what you need and leave the rest. That's what I tell. Oh, that's my, yeah. I just say, I am here to offer you my unique viewpoint. It is, my way is a way. It is not the way. And so if it don't resonate and it's not for 100%. You, I'm fine.
Especially on the internet streets. Like, I think this is one that everybody should just have at the back of their mind. Like, even if you don't agree with the fullness of what someone is saying, you don't need to write a 20-page essay online. Like, you can take what you need from what they've said, what is useful to you, leave the rest.
And like, leave keep the it rest. Pushing. Like, you know, that's not for me. The next one you have is, the least crowded place is the extra mile.
Game changer for me. Absolute game changer. Like, just having that constant reminder of putting in the extra work, not as an effort to kind of prove yourself or cover up for where you're lacking, but genuinely to just know that you will even feel better for yourself when you go the extra mile, when you put in the extra work. So even when I'm working with brands on partnerships, I'm like, okay, the bare minimum I can do is send the email looking like this. But if I was to go the extra mile, and you'd be so surprised how people come back and they're like, oh my gosh, you put things together in this PDF and I love it. And it just that attention to detail and that care that can make people feel like, okay, like I definitely want to work with you, or I definitely know that you care. The little things that you think, if there's an easier way to do something, don't always opt for that. Like, go for, and not in a way where you're addicted to struggle, but go for the extra mile, because you'd be so surprised how just, it's just not crowded there. Like, and it will literally sometimes just put you forward, like to the front of the line.
That's it. There are so many stories that I could tell you of a time that I was maybe up against a couple people or one other person.
Yeah.
And just taking the time to maybe send a quick note after and just thanking the person for their time. That's the extra mile.
Yeah.
You know, taking the time to do a handwritten note or to send a follow up or to, like you said, take the time. Like, there's an email that's in my inbox from that I'm going to be doing some business. And there, it's like, in my mind, I am still thinking about the typos in it and the, like the mismatched fonts, and just like, it takes not a lot of time to really package something neatly. And I just think, you know, these are the ways that when we talk about luck and how people are getting, you know, pushed ahead or pushed forward, it's in these small moments.
Yeah.
And I've been like that my whole life, where it's just like, you know what, how can I just show up just a little better than I did yesterday? And like you said, it's not because I'm like trying to prove anything or whatever. It's just this thing that I realize as adults, no one's pushing you anymore. You know, like even when I'm like working out, like I do my warm up, and my trainer's not standing over me with my warm up. He's only kind of like standing over me for the workout. And so in my warm up, I'm like, could you go one beat faster?
Yeah.
You know, could you go 5 seconds longer? And I think that is what the ways of, like, when I think about the extra mile is like, no one's gonna push me or get me going anywhere more than myself. And so everything doesn't have to be, I don't have to learn how to dunk, but I can go one pace faster and 5 seconds longer, you know? And I think if we think about life like that, that's what the extra mile means to me.
100%.
The next one you have is mind the business that pays you first the most.
Yeah. So I don't remember.
I spend all the time on the side hustle. I can tell you what this one is about.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be spending more of their time on the side hustle. So if you've got the full-time job or you've got the main thing, and then I get it that the thing on the side is fun.
Yeah.
It is, or sexy, or it looks good. And I have seen so many people lose their bread and butter or lose their mainstay. This could be like a relationship, right? Or a friendship. You got the solid homie, but there's a person who's got more followers or optically whatever. And so now you're going to ditch the person who's been there for you so you can be in the gram. And so I'm just like, keep your main thing the main thing.
So good.
It doesn't mean it has to be the main thing forever,
but
until it doesn't have to be, you know what I mean? Then you can do that. But I think
100%
we get distracted so much.
100%.
This is one of my favorites. The next one. We are not obligated to stay the same. I hope you change.
Yeah. This is one of the more recent ones. And I love just everyone. It seems to resonate so well with everyone. But I think across the board, whether it's something you're doing for work, for business, or even just who you are as a person in general, I think sometimes it feels like someone else has to give you permission to change your mind, to not remain the same. And it's like, no, there will be multiple variations of you or the things you love, like over your lifetime. And it's okay. It's okay for that to change. It's okay for you to change. It's okay for you to change your perspective. And I even love that recently you shared on Threads about, was it unbranding? Like taking off particular labels that you've kind of had for a while. And it's like, I love that you give yourself permission to do that over and over again.
Yeah, someone's like, oh my God, I could tell you're rebranding. And I was like, not quite. You know, it's like I'm using Canva to just put out some stuff I want to do right now, and it looks fine, and just trying to keep it neat. But I don't want to play this game where, and I think people have asked me to do a podcast on this, and I might, but I think what kind of kicked this off for me is like, if I speak somewhere or someone introduced me and I hear my intro and I'm like, oh my God, that is not, I don't want to be known as, you know, a person who is like, you know, it's just like doing or like labeled or whatever. And it's just kind of like, I do what I want, you know, I do what I want to do. And what I want to do is this right now. And, or this is how I want to serve, or these are the things that are interesting to me. But like, you know, even it's like, I struggle with calling myself a podcaster because I'm like, I just like talking
into
the microphone about stuff, and the medium to get that out is this way. And you're calling it podcast, but I don't want you to be calling me a podcaster, you know, or an influencer, or even sometimes entrepreneur. It's like, I don't know why I am like, I'm just in a season of being like, no, but I get it. People need to figure out like who you are and how to package you and all that. But I'm just like, what can I do differently? And you see so many artists that do it. Like, I think you see it with Andre 3000. I think with Ruben, where there are just people who are like, even like Lenny Kravitz, how he's doing the furniture design for CB2. That was so beautiful. Wow. And music. And so I think, I don't know. We'll see. I want to change, and I hope people change.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting that you kind of brought up those examples of those people. And a question for you, I guess I would say. So if someone was to then ask you, who are you? Like, how would you typically respond to that question, bearing in mind what you just said?
Yeah. That's a tough one, because people have asked me that, you know, where it's like, well, who are you? And in so many ways, I feel like an artist, if you will. Like, I feel like an artist that uses these various ways to like various mediums. And so I feel like, you know, I'm an artist who does some podcasting, who has created some businesses, who writes, who does this, who does that. I even don't even like to label myself, you know, it's like, I am a mom, I am a mother. But so much of mothering is, I don't know, the kids raising me in a lot of ways. And so, I think it's just like, these are some of the things that I have going on, but like who I am is probably just like a spirited artist.
Yeah.
Who has made the very hard decision to sort of express themselves through these various mediums. And so when I was doing the Curl Box business, that was an expression for me, you know, like the art, the business, all of those things. I do love business. I love clients. I love the pace. I love the art of like the deal of making deals. I love that. And I think that that's an art. But I really am just not in a space where I'm trying to like, I don't even know, like, because I think a lot of times we do these things so that we can then rank ourselves, right?
Yes.
I'm
the
number 7th podcaster. I'm dominating in this. And it's just like the only person I really want to be quote unquote dominating is just myself. Like, you know, and I don't even want to be like hard on myself. Like, I'm not in competition with myself. I'm growing myself. I'm watering myself. But I really just feel like I want to be able to do what I want to do, you know, and hopefully one or two of these things I can get paid to do, because I do have to make a living.
Right. But I love that, because then it doesn't allow you, if you don't keep defining yourself by what you do, it then makes it easier to, when you need to change or pivot, not feel so married to or tied to that thing that it's like, well, how dare I change? And I guess it's just the little practices of making sure each and every day you're not defining yourself by the things that you do.
Yeah. And that's a tricky one, because from the time you're a kid, you know, that's why what I was saying to you earlier in this conversation, we are starting to say like, oh my God, it's going to be a little gymnast or a little this or that. And it's just like, the first thing we start thinking about is like assigning careers to children and to ourselves and all of our value being there. And I don't know. It's like, I think I have skills. I think I'm skilled in a lot of ways. But I don't want to just be like, that's the only way that people are looking at me, you know, yeah. It's just like what I can do in that way, how I can like do stuff like that. So,
right.
I don't really know, but okay. The last one we have is one that people really love, where I say, you know, I can give you the playbook, the blueprint, and the Rolodex. I am the magic. How do you feel about that? You got some good stuff you're over there doing.
I absolutely love it, because I think it's so interesting also seeing the response that got online, because so many people loved it, but then it caused offense to some people in some way, because it's almost, I don't know. Yeah. I remember there was a time like other people shared it. And to me, my perspective is just, it doesn't mean that you also aren't the magic. Like each person has something unique about them that makes them able to show up and deliver in their own particular way. And like, that's what I took away from the statement. It's like, Malika is the magic. I'm the, like, in whatever area you are in, if you're intentionally putting in the work, doing the unsexy work, doing the things you need to be doing, like, you are the magic and you will always be the magic. You'll be indispensable. But I think it's just that reminder that I don't need to be looking over at what someone else is doing. I don't need to copy things exactly the way they're doing it. There's something innately in me that makes me the magic. And there's also things I can do to harness that. Like I can put in the time investment to build on that. And I love that reminder time and time again. And it, even if I see others in my field, like it just gives me that reminder to just look inwards and see, well, how can I build on the magic that's within instead of looking over there and being worried about what someone else is doing.
For sure. And that really was it, is that I think I remember when I wrote that, it was just like a period of time where people can come along and they can, you know, take everything you did, you know, it's like, okay, it's out here for you to see. You can look at the blueprint. You could take the whole playbook and you can start to call some of the same people. You know, I had people saying when I started Curlbox, like, there were beauty editors that had the contacts, and it's just like, well, who is she? She's not even in this industry. She doesn't even. And it's just like, it's me. I didn't need the experience. I didn't have to do that, because this is my own magic. And like you said, that's not saying that you're not the magic.
Exactly.
But for what this is and what I'm participating in, I am the magic here.
Yes.
And you, instead of trying to, you know, rain on my parade or put water on my sparkler, go sparkle in your own time, in your own space, and figure out where you're magical.
Yeah.
And get on out of here.
Exactly. You
know? So, yes. Okay. Before we get out of here, please tell everybody, thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
But tell everybody where they can find you.
Yes. Okay.
They want to keep up with you.
I'm online on Instagram and on the TikTok streets at Marbie's Kitchen. So that's Barbie with an M, M-A-R-B-I-E-S, Kitchen.
Okay.
Online as well, www.marbieskitchen. And if you'd like to purchase a journal that I have available, which is like a guided journal around self-discovery and just helping you to remain curious about yourself, you can grab that at lovemarbie.com or on Instagram at shoplovemarvie.
Love this.
Yay.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Because
thank you for having me.
You're in the UK, yes?
I am. Listen, even if I was in Bangkok, I would have made this happen, because it's the Malik team, okay? I am like a Malik evangelist. Like anyone who knows me, they know. If you know me, you have heard me say something that Malik has said. Like even if you haven't met Malik online, you will know something she has said. Like, so literally, even if I was on Mars, like I would have made this happen. Literally. Yeah, but thank you for you. Like time and time again, I will always say it's so amazing how many things can come from you just being willing to share what you have, share what you know, with that intent of adding value and providing guidance for other people. And you've just been an example of that over and over and over again. And I don't know if you will ever know truly the impacts that you have had and continue to have on people over and over again, because truthfully, some people just don't have that person to provide guidance or to provide insight. And it's not saying do life exactly the way I've done it. It's just saying, here are lessons I've learned along the way. I see you. I see some of the things you might have had to struggle with, or some of the things you just didn't know, and I'm going to share. And you just have changed so many lives. You've impacted so many of us. And I am thankful beyond words for you, like, time and time again. Honestly, thank you 1,000 times over. You're just remarkable in so many ways. And I hope you get your flowers every single day, because you deserve them. Honestly, thank you. Sorry.
You didn't even hear.
No, you need to know, because, like, literally found you around the period where I just thought, like, well, who's going to mother me? Like, who will provide the guidance that I need? And I don't even know how I found, I don't know. Like, this was Instagram way back in the day. And you've just remained, unwavering in your decision to just provide value and share, like, so.
Thank you.
Openly within the boundaries that you set for yourself. But I appreciate you, and I'm sure so many people listening do as well.
Thank you so much. I'm just like, tears. It makes me, you know, before we get out of here, I hope that people, you know, who listen to this or have gotten to know me over the years know that, like, at some point I have felt something you have felt.
Mm.
And at some, and I feel like I've lived long enough to know that, like, it gets better.
Mm.
You can get better.
Mm.
It's not your fault.
Mm.
You know, none of this is your fault. And, like, you can do it.
Right.
And I hope that you get to watch me do it. And it's just like, I just need it. I just try to show up as the person that I needed when I was, like, young. And I'm like, and I think the big thing for me is, like, nobody should have to do this by themselves. Mm. There's so much stuff I had to learn by myself. And so anything that I can help people skip a step, go a little faster, you know, that's just what I want to do.
And yeah.
So, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to treasure this, like, forever and ever. I mean, thank you. Yes, I appreciate you.
Yes. And just so you know, I have you on my list. When I do something, you are on my VIP list, so you will get an invite from me. So just
thank
know
you
that,
so
okay?
much. I'm gonna run around my apartment now and scream. But yeah, thank you.
All right, you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you so much. Okay, you too.
Bye-bye. Bye.